All right. Let's see. There it is. Well, good morning. Good to see y'all here. Hope everybody had a good Christmas, good break, good time with family, all those good things. Let's see here. A couple announcements. Deacons meeting January 18th. Lord's Supper January 25th. And the Bible conference is on January 9th. So that's the coming up the soonest. And that's that. And if it, some people may be wondering what a Bible conference is. And all it is we're having a guest speaker, and he's going to be teaching the Bible. And that's it. But it is somebody that is a very good Bible teacher. That's why I'm having him here. And I really like his teaching. I like his style. And Dave and Betty have known him for a very long time. And he's got a very good track record when it comes to serving the Lord. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him. And someone's at the front door there. But that's that. So if you're interested in the Bible and you're interested in good teaching, that's what that will be about. So it'll be fun. Well, it's not going to be we're going to have some food and snacks and things like that. And it'll be over Sunday after the normal service. So and if you can only make it one day, or that's fine too, but the more the merrier, right? Also, Yvonne it says resuming chemo treatments actually last Tuesday. So it says she's at a half a dose, but she'll be a full dose this week on this Tuesday. So, as long as she can handle them and until she finishes, all what the doctor wants her to have. So she seems to be doing good right now. So just continue to keep her in your prayers. And that's never a fun thing. And I've been keeping up with Roger, and he's done with his treatment on his throat cancer. And but he is having to get a feeding tube put in this Monday. So I guess just recovery at this point until he can eat through the mouth, and then hopefully he makes a full recovery on that. But it sounds like they at least zap the cancer, so just have to heal. That those treatments, they do some damage. So anyways, that's where we are, and we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. All one of you. The child, I should have said. Singular, right? Whoops. All right. Well, here we are back to our scheduled broadcast on the Jews, number 4 and 5. Good to be back. Always seems like 2 weeks when it's been a week. Hadn't been that long though, right? But here we are, number 4 and 5. And before we get going, we'd like to take advantage of God's forgiveness that we need daily, actually moment by moment, right? If you're in any traffic, you might realize you need it right then and there, depending on the situation. So, but it's all it has to do with is acknowledging our sins before God. He instantly forgives those sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we're able to grow, able to glorify Him and walk in the light as His Scripture wants us to do, so, or as He wants us to do. So let's go ahead and take a moment, and we'll do that, and we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Dear Father, thank you for the time that we have together as a church family, as the body of Christ. We know that each and every day is for a purpose, and you've given it to us as a gift, as a grace gift, to serve you and make a difference in this world in which we live. We pray that we can take these things and take them to heart, and also make them a part of our lives so we can make an impact and shine the light in the dark world in which we live. We thank you for the opportunity, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are back, number 4 and 5. And I know it seems like it's been a while, at least it has to me, but we've been talking about how should we view the Jews. And that's been our topic. And we kind of talked a little bit about anti-Semitism. And you can't not talk about anti-Semitism when you're talking about the Jews, right? Because that is part of, being a Jew. If you're a Jew, you're going to deal with some anti-Semitism. And you're going to also be very aware of anti-Semitism. If something is directed against you, obviously, you're going to take it a lot differently than someone on the outside looking in and saying, oh, well, look how horrible that is, right? If you're the Jew, it's a lot different. And that's why we're talking about it, because they are people, right? You know, some people forget that, right? They kind of classify them in this category and put them over here, but they're just like us. They're normal people. They have a sin nature, they have a soul, and they are where they are at right now, but we do have a part in that. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about this, because, you know, how are we to think about them in the big picture, right? Because we know they're in the Bible, and if they're in the Bible, we want to know what God says about them. And that's the main thing is, because there's so many things coming at us these days, and you've heard, I've heard, you know, your little red flags go up when you hear something that's not right or that doesn't sound good. And, you know, we need to know what to think about those things. And so, anyways, everyone seems to have, 10 cents, their own 10 cents about the Jews, whether they're good or bad, are in the middle for America, or whether they should be here, whether they shouldn't be here. You know, you hear so much, right? And so that's why another reason I wanted to talk about it, because God does have something to say about it, and everything we seem to hear is from man, which is may be right and may not be right. So that's why we went to the Bible. And the first place we went to was Deuteronomy 7:6, and that's pretty much where we left off in the book of Deuteronomy. And remember, this was just before the Israelites, or if you want to call it the Jews, enter the promised land after the 40 years of wandering in the desert or in the wilderness, right? And this is what it says. This is Deuteronomy 7:6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. And I mentioned this last time, but this verse is really describing to us why many people don't like the Jews, believe it or not. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but this verse is actually describing what people seem to be antagonistic towards and have animosity towards and are jealous because of these things right here. And, you know, part of you can understand that, but at the same time, part of you can't, right? We have a sin nature, and sometimes that sin nature doesn't like seeing good things happen to people, no matter what it is. It doesn't like seeing people advance. It doesn't like seeing people promoted. It doesn't like seeing people prosper. It doesn't like any of those things. I'm not referring to you. I'm referring to your sin nature that you have. So you have to separate those two things at times. But at the same time, you have to keep in mind that that is a part of who we are, right? We have a sin nature, unfortunately. And when that sin nature is directed toward a certain thing, in this case, the Jews, it looks for reasons and it becomes very, very particular. It becomes very directional. And it looks for things to pick out that it can take and run with as far as reasons why it doesn't like something, right? In other words, it's critical. It looks for reasons to be critical. Maybe those are justified reasons, and obviously they're most likely not, right? Because if we're looking for reasons to be critical about someone, first of all, we're looking for the wrong reasons. We're looking for something to justify our sin nature's feelings at that point. And that is never a good thing. That's wrong motivation, obviously, right? But the simple answer here is what we're looking at is the Jews were chosen by God. And, you know, we've never, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but most people don't pay that a lot of thought, right? That the Jews were chosen. And they're not only just chosen, but we see here and in other scripture that God would turn them into a nation, a people group, a nation with a specific piece of land and bless them. There's a lot there, right? There's a lot there. So, and that's very specific, and that's throughout all of eternity. Remember, that has two components, right? It has a, I guess you could say, a temporal aspect, a physical aspect, but it also goes into eternity, right? We have verses that talk about land. We have verses that talk about a throne, right? But we also have those things into eternity. So God has a plan. He has a purpose. And that plan is in play now, even though it seems like sometimes the Jews have been set aside, which I guess you could say in a way they have because they have rejected, right? Rejected Christ, rejected the God who has chosen them, which is kind of weird when you think about it. The very one who has chosen them, and as we're seeing, who actually... Well, we'll look more about how God feels about them coming up, but you can see at least from here, this point, from the get-go, they are very, God has very deep feelings for them, right? There's a reason why he's done this. So anyways, this doesn't apply to non-Jews, right? And there's a lot of camps out there, theological camps, that'll say this applies to the church now. Because the Jews rejected Christ and now the church has filled their role and now you're the new Jew. That's dangerous. That's not right, and be careful about that because it's something called replacement theology, which we may get into, but it's not something that the Bible supports. The Jews are a distinct people, and the church is a distinct people. I mean the church age, the church, right? And that's one of the keys of dispensationalism. Actually, we believe in dispensationalism here. That's one of the key factors of this. We believe that there is a difference between the Jews, Israel, and the church. And that God has a plan for both, although we're in a time now where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, right? We're all one in the body of Christ. But at the same time, there is distinctions that the Bible makes, right? And that God still has a plan for the Jews after the church age. So anyways, the reason I'm going through all this is because the sin nature is very capable of a lot of things that are not good and directed towards the Jews. And some of those things that come out of that, that you've probably seen on the internet or wherever you get your information, is there's different kinds of thinking that come about from the sin nature. And let me just go through a few of those because some bells are going to go off because I guarantee you've heard some of these. Racial. Sometimes the Jews are hated because they're a certain race. They become an inferior race, right? Because, I would say most likely because of this, right? But because of their race, because they're a Jew by identity, by race, and obviously there's something that comes with being a Jew. So remember, the sin nature latches onto those things, and all of a sudden now, you're not just a Jew, you're something to be rejected, denied, hated even. So it could be racial, it could be economic. A little bit different, right? The Jews are hated because they possess too much wealth and power. You've heard that one before. I know I have, right? They have too much control. They do too much. They're over too many things. There's a lot of lots of stuff that just propaganda that you just that just gets out there that you see, and you gotta have to wonder: are people paid to say these things? Because I've heard every one of these. The next one is outsiders. The Jews are hated because they're different from everyone else. It's kind of like the racial thing, right? The scapegoat. The Jews are hated because they are the cause for all the world's problems. It's their fault, right? The reason our economy is doing bad is because the Jews are to blame for that. They're the underlying cause of all these world problems, right? And I'm not, before we go any farther, I'm not giving the Jews a free pass. Let's say that. But what these types of thinking or types, the mindset here is doing is painting a broad brush over a whole group of people, which I'm not saying they're false, but the reality is this isn't where it ends. Right? This is just one of those broad brushes, and it leads to other places like anti-Semitism. And of course you have the Jews are hated because they killed Jesus Christ. Right? They were involved with Jesus' death, and now they're all to blame for that, and we should still hold, you know, something against them in that area, so that can go 20 different directions. And just to look at this from a different angle, the Jews are currently in a state of rejection. The Jews as a whole, and I'm not talking about individual Jews because we know there's Christian Jews, right? But the Jews, Israel as a whole, is a non-believing nation that is steeped in religion. Steeped in religion, right? I didn't say steeped in Christ. I said steeped in religion. So, with that combination, without Christ and with religion, you have a big problem. You have a big problem. Because what you get with that is an overabundance of self-righteousness and arrogance, right? And that's not a good combination, because when you're a Jew that is chosen, a lot of times that goes to the head. It goes to the head, right? And that could come across as boasting about being a Jew, or, you know, viewing other people that are not Jewish as inferior to the Jew. It can. I mean, I'm not saying, and this does happen. I've seen this happen, right? Everyone is inferior to the Jew. And this also leads to misinterpreting the Bible. And that doesn't settle well with people. When you see Jews coming off in this way, it does, you know, it comes off as bad, it comes off as not good, and some people have a bad taste in their mouth about Jews in general, maybe, because of one or two people who have gotten on, you know, and broadcasted certain things. And I think this doesn't settle well with people, especially if they're not in tune with their own spiritual life, with their own spiritual life. And I'm talking to you about these things because we are in tune, or we have a desire to be in tune with our spiritual life, right? And we want to think correctly when it comes to the Jew, no matter what we hear or see in the world. So anyways, when you're not in tune with your spiritual life, what that means is you have a lack of discernment when it comes to things that you hear, things that you see, and how you react as well. And this applies to the world in general, right? Lack of discernment, a wrong reaction, wrong response. And so when we see or hear things about the Jews, sometimes we take those things without any discernment and we make decisions based on a wrong assumption. A wrong assumption because we're not in tune with our own spiritual life. And that's a big problem today in America. That's our problem, a lack of discernment. A lack of discernment. Not knowing actually what absolute truth is versus the relative truth of the world. That's the issue. That's the issue, right? So, which isn't good for the non-Jewish people, obviously, because they're making wrong applications or overstepping their bounds when it comes to the Jews, when it comes to our position as Christians. And let's say they are Christians, but they're just out of tune with their spiritual life, right? We do have a lot of that in the United States. And the reality is I don't think they're applying God's word to the situation. Isn't that what the Christian life? We apply God's word to the situation. And that includes the Jews. That includes everything in life. Everything, right? And if we don't do that, what are we living? Well, we're certainly not living according to God's word, right? So, and on the other side of that, many Jews are a part of and very in tune with religion, like Judaism, right? There's different flavors of it, but overall it's lumped into something called Judaism. It's a religion. And Satan has been using this religion as a tool to prevent the Jews from knowing Christ. And he's done a very good job at it, to be honest with you. Judaism, most Jews are a part of Judaism, right? And that is the one religion that has kept them from knowing Christ. Actually, so much that they've excluded the entire New Testament from their theology because they don't believe in it. They don't believe it's the Word of God. To them, it's the Old Testament, right? So you could say he's done a good job. I'd say good job, Satan. But as you know, God always works all things together for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. And he also works evil to his good, right? So when you see these things, that the Jews don't know Christ, don't ever discount the fact that God is doing something with this time with the Jews in rejection mode that they're in. And it's really no different in any other religion to one degree or another, right? I think all religion to some degree is designed to keep people distant in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether that be a small degree or whether it be a large degree, I think religion is designed to keep people out of tune with their spiritual life, unfortunately, right? So, because many times what you see, someone may be saved, but they have no idea how to live the spiritual life. No idea. No idea. And, you know, that I think the Bible is very clear that tells us how we should do that and what we should do and how we should think, most importantly. But if you're involved in one of these religions where you're told to focus on the religion, on the rituals, on the customs, on the traditions, on the monotony of the... See what I mean? If you're told to focus on those things, guess what you lose? You lose the relational aspect of the Christian life with Jesus Christ. You lose that personal relationship that we're all called to live in and live with Him in, which is in tune with His Word and thinking the thoughts that He thinks, of course, through His Word, right? You lose that aspect, which is not very easy to see when you're involved in something like that, though, right? We all know people. We've all been involved. We all know people who are involved, and we know people who will never leave that environment because it has them, they're stuck, essentially, right? Although all hope is never lost, but I think you know the idea, the attitude that I'm talking about. Interesting that many people assume that the Jews are automatically a part of Judaism. Not necessarily true, right? They don't have to be a part of Judaism. That would be like saying all Christians are a part of some denomination. Well, you aren't. You're non-denominational. Someone asks you, what religion are you? You say Christian. They always want to hear more. I'm a Christian. Well, what religion are you? I'm a Christian. Right? They always want to attach a religion, and that's just the way the mentality is in America. Right? You can't just be a Christian. You assume that you're a part of some religion. And that's what I mean by most people assume that a Jew is a part of Judaism, which many times they are, but it doesn't have to always be the case. It actually doesn't make any sense to say that Jesus was a part of Judaism when you take into account what his own word says about Judaism, right? Was there Judaism during Jesus' time? Yes. Was Jesus a Jew? Yes, 100%, right? But when you throw the Judaism at him, we have to remember where the Jewish way of life and thinking came from. It came from the Bible. It came from the Mosaic Law. It came from God to the Jew, or to Moses, right? To the Jews. That was their way of living. That was their Christian life. That was how they thought, how they worshiped God, how they got to know God, all through what God said and what God told them to do, right? Of course, what do you get when you get something from God? You get man that takes it and likes to jumble it up and mess it up, and then you get some religion, and then you have a reinterpretation of what God said, and now you get it. Boy, that's confusing. But that's the reality, and that always happens, as it does here. The interesting part is that Judaism, the word Judaism, is only mentioned twice in the Bible. Two times. That's it. Twice. And it's actually only used twice in the New Testament. In the New Testament. Which tells you it's a newer thing. Right? I always like to say all the religions in the United States, not one of them are mentioned in the Bible. Why? Because they've all been created later, right? They're all newer. It's all something that, you know, we've got our hands on and we've said, oh, let's come up with this. It's no different here. The other interesting part of this is that the two times that it is in the New Testament, it's only used in a negative sense. A negative sense. And, you know, if you remember who might say this in the New Testament, you're probably thinking Paul, because he says most things, and he was very much involved in Judaism. He knew all about it. He was steeped in it. He rose to the top of it, and he played the part. He looked the part. He thought the part. He was the part in religion. And he has something to say about it in Galatians 1:13. I just want you to listen to what he says. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and try to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Well, that's just what we talked about a minute ago. You see where his direction, where his passion was? It certainly wasn't in the Word of God, right? It was for other things that were superficial, like tradition. Tradition was one of those things. But what he's doing here, what Paul is doing is he's describing Judaism. That's what he's doing. He's describing it. Which he was obviously very much a part of. And you can't say he's not qualified to speak on it, because he should be the spokesman for it. He was in it, and now he's not. So he's seen both sides. You know, it's always nice to hear from someone who has experience in something, like that wasn't good, and then now they're out of that experience, they can speak on it. They can speak on it, and you can trust them and know they're telling the truth because they've been there, done that. Right? We all have experiences like that. Well, that's how Paul is when it comes to this religion as a whole. And what he's describing here is basically a man-made religion that has distorted God's word to the point of being unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. At least I'm going to say in the soul, unrecognizable. Maybe on the surface it may look holy, but it's unrecognizable on the inside. Because you can see that. Paul's describing what he thought, what he did, what he, you know, what his motivation was. It wasn't for the Christ, it was for the religion. And that's how it becomes many times. It's no longer serving the Lord, it's serving the religion. It's serving the physical church. It's serving the people in the church. And that's where it gets very subtle. Because we all like to serve people, we all, that's part of our calling. But if that rises above serving the Lord, that's where you get in trouble, right? That's where you lose the filling of the Spirit. That's where you lose the right motivation of service. And that's where a lot of other negative things come out of service. When we serve man versus God, you know, that's never obviously a good thing, right? But that's, and this is also why Paul makes such a distinction between the law and grace. In his writings. You notice that? He always makes a distinction between the law and grace, because what Judaism did was it took the law, which by the way is the word of God, it took the law and it used it in a legalistic way. It took the law and said you have to follow the law in order to be saved. Whoa, where'd we get that from? See what I mean? It's taking something that is right and true and from God, and it's using it in a wrongly motivated way, right? Which, as you can see, turned legalistic. Because now they're persecuting the very church that the law actually spoke. The God of the church of God is the same God that he supposedly believed in when it came to the law, and he was following. You see how disconnected it is? He's supposedly worshiping the same God, and he's persecuting the church of the God he's supposed to be worshiping. And that's how it always is, right, with religion. Christians are persecuted many times, sometimes by other religions that claim to believe in the same God as Christians do. In some cases, that is the case. Not always, obviously. Obviously, we see today a lot of other things going on. Islam. But we see this same thing today, right? We see denominations distorting the Bible in a legalistic way. So all that to say is that I wanted to talk about that, because you also notice that Paul isn't talking about a specific flavor of Judaism. He's just saying the word as a general term. He's calling it out the way it is. He's saying Judaism. There it is. You know, if he would have said something like, for you have heard of my former manner of life in Catholicism or Christianity, or, I mean, you know what I'm saying. He's not giving us any sub under there. He's just putting as a whole Judaism. So basically this covers it all. So all that to say is that there are religious Jews. There are non-religious Jews. There are Christian Jews. There are non-Christian Jews. See, there's a lot of different kinds of Jews is what I'm telling you. So don't ever classify, put them in one group and say, okay, this is how they all are. Far from it. Remember, the Jews are currently in a mode where they are scattered around the earth, right? Sure, a lot of them are in Israel, but a lot of them are scattered around the earth still, because they're in a state where God, since 70 AD, they are scattered around the earth, right? And are not going to be all together until the tribulation. That's when they're going to come back together. Actually, more towards the end of the tribulation, we could say. So, but I wanted to mention that because at the end of the day, we can't expect Jews to make good decisions, being that they have rejected the one true God that they supposedly believe in, that they supposedly worship, or some of them don't at all. They're all across the board. But you get the point. You have to think differently when it comes to the grace that we're called to think with. Remember, grace includes patience, compassion, love. All these things come into play when you think about grace, because think about your own child. I mean, they didn't always make the right decisions, but does that mean you were all of a sudden you were racist against them or something? You know what I mean? You castigated them because they did something wrong, or they were in a part, maybe they were in a part of their life where they got off track for an extended period of time, months, years. What'd you do? Did you just write them off? No. They're still your child, right? And I know the Jews are not your child, but at the same time, they were chosen by God. So there has to be a different way to think about them instead of they did this, they did that. Well, sure they did. They're rejecting Christ right now. They don't make the right decisions all the time because they're out of tune with their spiritual life, right? And I'm not saying that you should say, oh, it's okay that they did that, but I'm saying we have to begin to think differently about what they do, about what they stand for, about the decisions they make when it comes to their enemies and the people around them. And keep in mind that they will always be a target of the enemy. At all times, no matter what they do, that will never change. They will always be a target of the enemy. And then enemy works, I know he's working overtime through the Islam, right? He's working overtime through that religion. But at the end of the day, we have to think differently about them. Because you have to remember that God is the one who made these decisions toward the Jews. And that's really what matters. I mean, at the end of the day, when you go back to the nuts and bolts of the scripture, and you're asking yourself why, you should always go to the fact that God is the one who made these decisions. He chose them for a specific reason, in a specific time, in a specific place, and excluded everyone else because He chose to do it. That should be enough for the Christian. That's where faith steps in and says, okay, I trust the fact that God has a plan and He knows what He's doing. Remember that? God has a plan and He knows what He's doing, right? Which, as you know, if it has anything to do with God's decisions, guess what? It also has to do with His justice. His justice, which is always fair. Justice is always fair. So many people see the Jews and say, well, that's unfair. God chose them and, you know, He didn't choose me and they have this and they have that. No, God is a God of perfect justice. He's a God of perfect justice, which means that includes fairness. That does include fairness. I know this life doesn't seem fair to you, but at the end of the day, sometimes we don't include the calculation of the sin nature, right? And some things are unfair when it comes to the human race and the life we live and the situations we deal with. Sure, you're going to be in some unjust situations. But when you come at it from God's perspective and the decisions that He's making, they're perfectly fair and justice and righteousness, right? So that's actually a decent place to take a break, but we'll see a couple verses that talk about God's decisions and what's included in it. You know, because when you think about why He decided this, you know, what was on His mind when he chose the Jews? Well, that's what I wanted to look at, a couple verses that brings out those aspects when we come back. So with that being said, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the time. Thank you for just opening our eyes more and more to the fact that we are children, your children, and we continually are made more aware of the fact that the Jews are a part of your plan. And we know that we have a part in that. We know that we have a way to think about them. And most importantly, a way to realize that we're called to think in a certain way according to your words. So we thank you for the opportunity to be able to study that, to do that. And we ask that we can continue to live in a way that is true to your word. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.